Support this podcast and keep us going. Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to our 1,000th episode. Oh boy, You know, when I started this, I never expected we would make it this far. But oh wow, as you guys heard in the last episode, we're still going. And we're going to keep going, but today, to celebrate, we have the first of 12 episodes with Gail Carriger answering your questions and arguing with me about what the correct answer is. Gail Carriger, as many of you will know, and as some of you might guess, and as some of you might not know at all, is the multiple New York Times best-selling author of the Parasol Protectorate series, beginning with Solus, as well as its spin-offs, the Finishing School series and the Custard Protocol, as well as the gay paranormal romance series San Andreas Shifters, and the wonderful, the beautiful, and my personal favorite, and not just because I produced the audiobook, Brud Rat. And, of course, the now-released Heroine's Journey, which we have talked about quite a lot on this podcast. And me being me, forgot to record a proper meet-and-greet introduction with Gail, so you're having to get my boring voice instead, so let's go to the questions so we can get to her. Today we have question number 822 from Brad, who asks,
I am writing a story similar to Highlander, where immortals come together and fight until there can be only one, but I want to make it a heroine's journey instead of a hero's. Any ideas on how to do that? Obviously, the final showdown has to be different, but how? Also, are there certain key scenes or story elements that define one path over the other, or are they fundamentally different from the ground up? Finally, Gail talked about writing a book on the heroine's journey in one of your past episodes. Is that still happening?
Okay. I can start with the last part first. So, yes, the book is still happening.
And it's great.
Oh, thank you. Dan was one of my beta readers.
It's a great book.
We got into arguments over bits, so it's still contentious. So, yes, it will be out, and it has a beat structure for you. In other words, a step-by-step structure on how the heroine's journey is different from the hero's and all that sorts of thing. And as I've said a couple of times recently, I had to write a whole book about it because it is complicated and, or at least different enough in nuances as well as in basics that it required a book. So,
yeah, it's not just different in structure, too. It's different in thematic content and all sorts of other stuff.
Archetypal usage, trope usage, and messaging and theme. So there's a lot to unpack. It's going to be out in the fall of this year. So it is coming, and I'm hoping to drop it before NaNoWriMo. That's the current plan, but nonfiction's really hard to predict as a fiction writer in how long it takes to produce. So that's kind of, you know, that's my hope. And I'm usually pretty good on my deadlines, so fingers crossed. However, to unpack, there's a like an innate core problem with your premise to start with within the question, which is there can be only one.
It's very much a hero's journey from baseline.
Yeah, you can't write a heroine's journey that there can be only one, because that's basically the anti-heroine's journey. That would be a tragic heroine's journey. You can write that. But if you write a heroine's journey and there ends up being only one survivor, then it's either a hero's journey or it's a tragic heroine's journey.
Right.
And there really isn't a lot of wiggle room with that, I'm afraid.
Yeah, because at the end of the hero's journey, triumph sets the hero apart, whereas at the end of the heroine's journey, triumph brings her back together with her community.
Exactly.
And so,
yeah. So if you want to set up the premise of there can be only one, you can then subvert it by having her end up being with two. And a classic example of that is The Hunger Games. So, right, the whole idea of The Hunger Games is there can be only one. And then at the very, very end of the first book, she contrives it by threatening suicide that there can be, that there has to be two of them. So she and Peeta, or Peeta, or whatever his name is, survive together. So that is a pretty classic example of a hero's journey set up with a heroine's journey subverting it. But she has to trick the system. And the problem with tricking the system when you're writing this kind of book is your hero's journey readers are going to feel betrayed. If you give them a setup and a set of expectations that they think they're on a hero's journey narrative, and then you trick at the end, the reader can also feel tricked. So you have to be very careful to then seed your hero's journey narrative with multiple examples of subversion so that the reader knows, subconsciously at least, that they're on a heroine's journey, even though the packaging of material looks like a hero's journey. But you're going to have to sacrifice your can be only one premise.
Another book that did that was Lord of the Rings. They packaged it as Frodo's hero's journey, but over the course of the book, it became clear that it was Sam's heroine's journey.
Absolutely. Exactly. And that is also a core example of what I call a buddy cop drama, which is when there are two partners, essentially. And we're talking about the Frodo-Sam journey. The other characters from the Fellowship have different journeys. But the Frodo-Sam journey narrative is essentially what I would call a buddy cop drama, which is it's two. Each one is on their own journey. And Frodo actually carries all the way through to ultimately a hero's journey because he goes off.
In the West,
you know, it's packaged as he's going into the West with the elves. But really, that's a metaphor for dying, right?
Yeah.
And the whole point, of course, is that he's a classic hero in that one of the hero's tenets is you cannot go home again. Or if you can go home again, you've overgrown home in a way. The hero has become too extreme or too special, for lack of a better word, to ever happily nest back in his initial home environment, in his civilized world. You know, Gilgamesh is the original example of this, but like Gilgamesh goes off, has his journey, brings back his boon, but he still doesn't fit into the city from which he originated because he's too much for it. He's too extreme. His answer to questions is not going to be dialogue. It's going to be violence. He's going to fight his way. And I mean, this is a very unpacking thing, but that can in some ways be a metaphor for sort of PTSD and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was going to say that aspect of the hero's journey is very like people who go to war and then come back. Well, you and I both grew up in the era when we both knew a lot of Vietnam vets who never left the jungle. And it took them decades, if ever, to finally get out of that and find the ability to conduct normal life again.
And the pivot of that, and from a writerly perspective, of course, is that is a survivor trait for your hero, because if you are writing, for example, a Lee Child-style consistent hero who keeps going on these journeys, then he needs those survivor traits because that's what keeps him alive and makes him successful. So, you know, under the context of that sort of narrative, it's a positive that the hero doesn't fit back into the civilized world because he needs to continually go on more and more journeys because you want to write a successful
hero. Or Harry Potter, which also does that, sets it up loudly as a hero's journey, but underneath it's a heroine's journey all the way through.
Yeah, series where your hero is constantly challenged. So we really deviated fast from your initial premise, but like unfortunately the simple answer to your question is the initial premise is diametrically opposed to the journey you want to write.
But if you want to do it, it can be done if you subvert it correctly, but it'll be tricky.
Very, yeah. But could be really fun and really successful. I mean, again, look at The Hunger Games.
Well, I guess that'll do it for this one, and we will see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty McKeon, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners. Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.